Put it on there so maybe we'll knock it off. Greetings to everyone. It's good to see everybody here on the first high day of the year, the first of unleavened bread. And you know that life has changed completely when you bring your cell phone to the podium to help yourself give the sermon, you know. But I looked up a poem here. It's a poem by Robert Frost. And it's entitled, "The Road Not Taken." And it reads, "Two roads diverged in a yellow wood. And sorry I could not travel both and be one traveler. Long I stood and looked down one as far as I could, to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then I took the other, just as fair, and having perhaps the better claim, because it was grassy and wanted wear. Though as for that, the passing there had worn them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay in leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I marked the first for another day, yet knowing how ways lead on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by. And that has made all the difference." In life, there are many different paths that present themselves to us. And just like Robert Frost described here, you know, we ponder and consider our ways and the paths that we should go. And often we base the path that we take on the circumstance that presents itself to us at that particular and given time. Maybe on a different day we would take a different road, but the circumstance comes to us and we say, well, because of this or this or this or that, I'm going to go this way. Today I want to talk about our road ahead, and about why we choose the road that we take. We're at the beginning of the year. Night before last, we celebrated the Passover. That period in time, you know, that event in time, one event that changed the entire world, changed our world, and changed the world for everyone, though not everyone knows that yet. Jesus Christ presented Himself and His thoughts and His ideas to this world, and the world chose a different path. But some have looked at what was presented there, looking down the path and saying, yeah, I believe that way. That way is best. Not because of our wisdom or because of our devising, but because it was presented with circumstance such that we could see value there. Certainly not of our strength. It was through Jesus Christ's strength alone that we have come to where we are. I want you to think back, you know, approximately 4,000 years ago. I think it was about 4,000 years ago that there was a man who was in trouble with the law. And because of that, because of his difficulties, he decided, well, you know, I'm going to get out of Dodge because they're about to lynch me. But God had determined to use that man for a particular mission, a particular purpose, to redeem a people. Now you have to ask yourself, why would God concern himself with the children of Israel? They were a pretty hard, stiff-necked. I mean, God called them stiff-necked people. Stubborn. Hard-headed. Vicious. And in many cases, just totally mean-spirited people. What was the circumstance that caused God to consider them? You know, why didn't God just go and find somebody that had a halfway decent nature about themselves? Well, that's because he had found someone that had a halfway decent nature about himself. And it was a man that he had a relationship with. He had a relationship with Abraham. Abraham and God knew one another. You know, you hear people that drop names. You know, I said, yeah, I had lunch the other day with the mayor. And he needed some advice, so... He said, Kirby, come on down, have lunch with me. I need to ask you a couple of questions. No, God could, I mean, Abraham, now Abe could drop a name. I know this Melchizedek guy. I know the Most High God. I know the guy in charge. Abraham could drop a name, but it wasn't just name dropping, was it? Because Abraham had a relationship with God that was nosebone to nosebone. You and me, Lord. You remember the old thing on Bill Cosby and God spoke to Noah? And he heard a voice and it said, finally he got him in a bind and he said, yeah, you and me, Lord, you and me. Well, Abraham had that kind of relationship and they talked with each other. They discussed plans with each other. They discussed their dreams and their ideas and the road ahead. And because of that relationship, Abraham was able to choose the right road. And so that when God said, Abraham, I want you to pull up stakes and I want you to leave Ur of the Chaldees, leave this terrible system, and I have a road for you to travel. And it's a road less traveled, the road most usually not taken. And Abraham went. And it wasn't because, you know, somebody said, all right, you're here, you know, I'm going to pay you. It was because of relationship. And great wealth came to Abraham, no doubt about it. But it was because he was obedient in taking the right road. And because of that, God established a covenant, an agreement with Abraham. Agreement is, listen, if you will do this, I'll do this. Now, if you got an agreement like that, and one person later on says, changed my mind, I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to do my end of it. That's called breach of contract. And, you know, based on the laws of the land, certain things can happen if one individual in a contract decides to renege on their part of the bargain. And so, because Abraham was good to fulfill his part of the contract, God was good to fulfill his side of the contract as well. And in the course of time, and over the over time, that relationship formed between these two. And it was a relationship the effects of which come down to this very time. Why does God concern Himself with you? Because there is a contract between us as well? Certainly. Because we also show our acceptance of a contract through our obedience. I mean, it's not because, you know, I'm better or smarter than everybody else. It's not because I'm stronger or better looking. My wife thinks maybe so that I am, but well, maybe she's right. I don't know. No, it's not because of anything. It's because we have a relationship as well. Two nights ago, we went through certain ceremonies that demonstrated that we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And through that, we have a relationship with God the Father. And we demonstrated that we have a relationship with one another. You think about foot washing. Think about it. What did Jesus Christ do for us? He died for us so that we wouldn't have to die for ourselves. He paid the penalty. He helped us by giving us salvation. And then, why did we get down on our knees and wash somebody else's feet? Was it just to get the junky dirt of the past year off of somebody's feet? I bet you every one of you washed your feet before you came there, night before last. So some of us got our feet washed in cold water, but somebody forgot where the hot water tap was. But we didn't get down on our feet just to wash away dirt or to clean out the toe jam. Jesus Christ said that what He did was to be an example to us. What did He do? He gave of Himself to save us, to preserve us, to deliver us. And if that is our example, then that washing is a matter of our saving one another. And I'm not talking about salvation here. I'm talking about, but maybe helping your brother towards salvation in whatever way you might be able to do that. It's not about dirt. It's about service. Not about, you know, sludge between your toes. It's, in a sense, not even about, totally about humility. You've got to have the humility to do it. But it's about service to one another. About laying your life down just like Jesus Christ laid His life down. That's why God is willing to have a relationship with us. because we are willing to do what Jesus did. What Jesus the Christ accomplished, we are willing to do. And we are willing to be obedient in His plan to go down that road that is best and the road that He chooses for us. We can look, but we can't see around the curve. It said in the poem, says, I look down both roads and I can see as far until the path disappeared in the undergrowth. I couldn't see. I don't know which one. I took the one less traveled. And in the end of the poem it says, and it made all the difference. And if we take that less traveled path, it makes all the difference in our lives too. I'm going to back up to that man on the hillside running from the law. Of course, you know that that was Moses. God chose and wanted to have a relationship with the children of Israel. Initially, because of His covenant with Abraham. But He wanted it to be more. He gave them His law. And it says that He wanted that law to be in their heart. But He went to Moses, and it's really interesting. I love the story of the burning bush and the story of Moses and God's relationship with one another. And so Moses sees this bush and it's burning. It's burning. And it's burning. And it's burning, and it's burning, and it's burning, and it just keeps burning, and it doesn't burn up. You know, you throw some dry brush in a fire, and poof, it goes up in a heartbeat. But this just kept burning. Maybe the leaves were still green. I don't know. We have a plant called the burning bush, and they're bright red in the fall. Beautiful. But maybe this burning bush, the leaves were still green and it was still burning and burning. Well, as you might guess, that sort of captured Moses' attention. He said, I'm going over there and see what's going on. So he goes over and he hears this voice that says, Moses, and just like Bill Cosby, it says, yes, Lord. You know, take your shoes off, Moses. You're on holy ground. And with that, a relationship began. And it was such a relationship. In Exodus, the 33rd chapter. This was not just a relationship that was casual acquaintance relationship. In Exodus, the chapter 33, and in verse 11, it defines the kind of relationship that God had with Moses. In verse 11, it says, so the Lord spoke with Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. God liked Moses. He liked him. He said, hey buddy, you're my friend. You know, Keith and I have got many, many experiences together. Partially because of that and for other reasons. Keith's just a likable guy, you know? Hard-headed, just like the Israelites. But it was the interaction between the two that cemented a friendship with them that it says that the Lord was with Moses as a man speaks to his friend. You know, there's another place where Jesus said of us, you know, said, I'm not dealing with you anymore like your servants or anything like that. But I'm dealing with you like your brothers and friends. There's a relationship. And it's the relationship that drives us down the correct path of life. Now the children of Israel, they weren't in tune with Abraham and God's relationship. They weren't in tune with Moses and God's relationship. They were just plain stiff-necked and hard-headed. So much so, and I love this passage. It's in Exodus, back one page, back one chapter, Exodus 32. I've used this before in speaking. And this was the incident of the golden calf. And here Moses and God are up on the mountain. And, you know, they're talking, they're taking care of business. They're friends doing things that need to be done together. And all of a sudden, God says, Moses, get down off this mountain. He says, and in verse 7, and the Lord said to Moses, go, get down, for your people who you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. Moses, those are your people. Let's see, who sent who? You know, who sent who to take the children of Israel out of Egypt? And now God's saying, you know, it's the guy that tells his wife, your kids are acting up, you know. Well, this is God telling Moses, your kids are acting up. Well, Moses and God had such a relationship that Moses was not going to have any of that. Down in verse 11, it says, then Moses pleaded with the Lord his God and said, Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people? Moses gave it right back to God, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand. Why should the Egyptians speak and say, he brought them out to harm them, to kill them in the mountains, and to consume them from the face of the earth. And then, like one friend does for another, he pleaded with God and says, turn from your fierce wrath and relent from this harm to your people. He says, remember, you know, where we're coming from here. And so then in verse 14, so the Lord relented from the harm which He said He would do to His people. Relationship. That's about relationship. And so, God did exactly that. He spared the people of Israel. The children of Israel were in bondage. It says in Exodus, the 12th chapter in verse 40, it says 430 years. 430 years of slavery. And then He delivered them. Well, you know, if the Passover is about redemption, Certainly the days of unleavened bread are about deliverance. Because that's what God did to the children of Israel on that day. The night to be much observed, they had their clothes on, they had spoiled the Egyptians, and then they went out. And God even took them a safe way. You know, God chose their path that time. Instead of going up by the sea, God took them by the way of the wilderness. Because He said, you know, if I take them up by the sea and they run into the Philistines, and they're going to have to fight their way through, they may want to go back. They may want to go back and find that old path again. They may not want to go the way that I want them to go. And so He took them through the wilderness. Well, they chose the wrong path anyway. But each individual in life has to choose. They have to choose which path that they will take. You see, in a relationship, one gives and the other receives. And then, in response, the other gives and the first receives. It's got to go both directions. It's got both parties have to get something out of relationship. And it's not just obedience. Certainly we need to know our place. Abraham knew his place. He knew that God was God and he was a man. Moses knew that God was God and he was a man. He knew where the authority lay. You know, and when he made the mistake, when God told him to speak to the rock, and you'll get water for these stiff-necked people. And Moses walked up there and he was mad. And he took his staff and he went, whop, whop. He didn't speak to the rock. He whacked the rock twice. And you know what God did? He sent the water anyway. Because the people of Israel needed to see the power of God. But then, as you would do for a friend who had wronged you, He took him aside and He said, "It's not what I told you to do. You had a golden opportunity there to say, the power of God will provide water for you. God has told me in His power and in His strength, rock, give us some water." That's what God wanted. He wanted to receive what was due Him as part of the relationship. And God upheld Moses. But then He told Moses, you know, there's a great promise to this people. There was a great promise to you. And you will see the promised land, but you won't see this promised land. You will not enter into the land of Canaan. And Moses pretty much begged him to reconsider. He says, "Please, please let me enter the promised land." And God told him, "No." He will enter the promised land at the same time that we do. When he raises up out of his grave at the coming of Jesus Christ in power and as King. And we, who have a relationship with Him, will raise up And between then and now, we will do great things. You know, a change has come over us as a result of the sacrifice that was made. And the nature of our relationship with God has changed with Jesus Christ's sacrifice. Because we are now friends, we are now brothers, we are one. You know, God wants a relationship of the highest order. He says that the saints are the bride of Christ. That is a relationship of the highest order. But there has to be respect there. And there has to be a path that is taken because of the strength of that relationship. And so, as we look down that path, we need to take that path that is least traveled. We need to follow the example. We need to serve. We need to give of ourselves. It's not about power. Even to the very end, the disciples were concerned about power. Even at the Passover service, they were squabbling amongst themselves. Hey, which one of us is going to be the greatest? And Jesus took the opportunity at that point and said, you know, we're not like the Gentile rulers where it's all about power and who's on top. It's about who is the slave and the servant willingly. Like Jesus Christ was willingly the servant of the rest of the world. Willingly gave of Himself. Willingly paid for our sins. And as a result, we're starting a journey as pictured by the days of unleavened bread. You know, not to be much observed. The lamb is on the spit. It's been roasted. We have our shoes on our feet and our staff in our hand. And the journey is about to begin. Which road will we take?